All right, who's ready for the Dirt Life Show?
Yeah. We are ready for the Dirt Life Show. This is episode 111 of the Dirt Life Show, and welcome to Rigid Industries. We're out in Phoenix, Arizona, and as you can see, sitting next to me, we have this pretty young lady, Mia Chapman. What's up, Mia? How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. So I would like to give Mia a proper introduction before we get started here. So Mia grew up racing mod carts and in like the short course series, and now is a professional side-by-side racer in the desert against some of the best teams in the world. Mia Chapman has never backed down from a battle. She is a role model for young girls and a force to be reckoned with on the race course. Let's see what it takes, what makes Mia tick. So, man, I'm stoked to talk to you today.
I know. I've been waiting for this.
Really?
Oh,
dude,
yeah.
High five. So we got linked up through one of our mutual friends, Jim Beaver.
Yep.
And he's actually going to join us today. So I'm stoked that all you guys are joining us on Instagram. Like I said, we have Facebook going, and we also have YouTube going. And thank you very much to all of the team here at Rigid Industries for allowing us to have this amazing place, this amazing studio opportunity for just kind of showing you guys all the stuff that they have as well, because they're one of your partners.
Yeah, really good partners. Super cool to come out here. You know, we live so close, but it's so hard with the race season to actually get out here. So it's cool to see some of the changes they've done here, and looks like we got a pretty awesome setup. So
yeah,
good stuff.
It worked out pretty good. So I'm stoked that we get to all meet up here. Even, you know, Chris Lemming is also saying that he wants to meet up for tacos. So it's good to have all of the people in Arizona. So happy to have the Dirt Life Show here. So like I said, this is episode 111 of the Dirt Life Show. I'm George Hamill. This is Mia Chapman, professional side-by-side racer, Red Bull athlete, which we're going to talk about today. Like I said, we're at Rigid Industries in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you very much to everybody here that helped us. And we want to see what you guys are doing for the holidays. I hope everybody's already ready and got all their presents done. But if you haven't, you can visit any of our sponsors. You can go to Four Wheel Parts, get yourself some KMC wheels, some EFX tires, any of that stuff. You can even probably buy Rigid Industries lights there. You can go over to ZollingerRacingProducts.com and use the code DIRTLIFE. You can save a whole bunch of money on any of their products. They make amazing products for your side-by-side. You can also go, to MotoUSA.com as well. And check out the guys at MotoUSA on Instagram, too. They have a bunch of good content there. So those guys are making fantastic lubricants. Visit the guys at Shock Therapy, ShockTherapyUSA.com. You can use the code DIRTLIFE, save a whole bunch of money on getting your car all dialed in. Evolution Power Sports, they're a new sponsor of ours at the end of this year. Man, Todd and those guys are making some serious horsepower. Have you ever seen those cars at the dunes that do the sand drags?
Oh, yeah. They're nuts.
Dude, almost 400 horsepower or 500 horsepower in a Can-Am.
I know. That's insane.
That's bonkers, right? Thank you to the guys over at CryoHeat. You can check out their Pro Mod transmissions. They got a really, really good setup for some race cars like the one we have behind us here that Mia Chapman drives. And the guys over at SolderWeld, SolderWeld.com. Use the code DIRTLIFE and save on their off-road repair kits. You can repair your race, repair your ride. So today on the show, we're going to get Mia's backstory a little bit. We're also going to talk about the progression of off-road. And this is like a good subject for you because you can tell us how the progression of off-road has kind of lined up with the way that you've grown in your off-road career too.
Absolutely.
We're going to, like I said, get Mia's backstory, talk a little bit more about her becoming a Red Bull athlete, because that's a fantastic accomplishment for any youngster or even older person. And we have three guests that are going to call in. Jim Beaver is going to call in. What would you call Jim? Is he your agent, friend? Like, how do you classify him in his professional role?
He's got a lot of names, but mainly he's my manager.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, manager, that's a good name. So Jim is an all-around good guy, so we can't wait to talk with him. We're going to talk with Greg Love, and he's the owner of, Brimstone Recreation or Brimstone Off-Road?
Yep.
And that's a track or a facility out in Tennessee, and you've become good friends with him doing a race out there too, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk with him, and then we're going to talk with none other than Jimmy Owens of Extreme Fabrication. What's the actual name of his company? Extreme Machine and Fabrication, right?
Yep, there you go.
There we go. And he's been a long supporter of yours, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, a long time. He's been a He's built all of my cars. He's been my crew chief, my spotter. I mean, he's done it all. So he'll be a good person to have on.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, so when I was talking to him today, he goes, yeah, I want to talk crap to Mia.
Oh, yeah. That's something he would say.
So we're going to have a good show. But I think, and let's see here, we're going to have everybody chime in here, I think in just about half an hour, 20 minutes or so. But we're going to really want to get all of your guys' questions. So you guys can feel free. Hit us up on Facebook, YouTube, and obviously Instagram. Looks like we only have a few people logging in right now, but you guys are more than welcome to ask questions. And if Mia approves of them, maybe she'll answer them. If not, then we're just going to pass right by you and not even worry about it, man. So you guys can always check out the Dirt Life Show anytime on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram. You can always look at us on the archives, like on iTunes, Spotify, all the podcast networks, just in case you're driving. You don't want to be watching a TV screen. And we will only get interactive with you guys. You guys have been our lifeblood this whole time, and we really appreciate you sliding into our DMs, talking about us, about the guests that we have coming up, giving us suggestions on what we can do better, just like you would do to her if she had a good or bad race. You tell her what you think you could do. So we respect all of that stuff and take it to heart. So we really appreciate you guys and want you guys to be interactive with us. So feel free to join anytime. All right, you ready to get into this?
Yep, let's go.
So the first question is, I actually don't know this question. I've hung out with you a lot, but how did you even get into off-road?
So I started racing when I was about 6 years old, and I got into it because my dad did some dirt bike stuff, some dirt bike racing growing up, and so naturally, you know, he kind of wanted his kids to do it. So
on a dirt bike you got into it, or you got into it on a quad?
So that's where I'm getting at. So my mom said no to the dirt bike, no to the quad thing. So I think we went to a local like car show type thing by our house, and there was a trophy cart there. And so at first I wasn't really interested in it. I was like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, I'm a young girl. What am I going to think?
Yeah.
Right? And so my dad ended up getting it for me. And
was it like trucks are for the boys?
Kind of sort at the time. Yeah. But it showed up on my, our next Christmas. And so he kind of gradually got me into it, started out by taking it out to the dunes, doing some riding, getting comfortable in it, and then eventually, you know, started my first race. And it kind of just blossomed from there. It started out as something just fun to do with the family, and I ended up really liking it a lot, especially after getting my first win not too shortly after there, and progressed into a championship. And that's when I was really like, I want to buckle down, and this is what I want to do for a career, like...
That's so crazy. It feels like it happened so quickly. But what was, like, the first move? Like, you get in there, and you're, like, driving it around, and you're like, holy crap, this is fun.
Yeah, I don't really remember much of it because I was so young, but apparently I was pretty scared of it at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, until I got to, like, really get in there and drive it and see what it was like. And one of the first things my dad actually did was...
Plus, mod carts are no joke.
Yeah, well, I started racing, like, the junior carts, like, the beginner classes, because that's what you kind of had to start out doing.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things my dad did was he put me in the car, strapped me in, rolled it on its side, and was like, this is what it's going to feel like whenever the time comes you have your first crash.
Dude, so, that's such a great idea.
Yeah, and he did a full rotation, so I knew what it would feel like and stuff. And so it was definitely good to know, but my first crash, yeah, it was a little rough.
When did you have your first crash? Were you like at your first race, or was it like a little ways into your...
You know, it had to be a little ways in, and I literally only tipped it on its side. Like, that was about it.
But, yeah, when you're a little kid, that's traumatizing, right?
Yeah.
Because don't you, like, skid on the ground? Like,
yeah, I, like, slid a little bit. They flipped me back over. They're like, are you good? And I was like, yeah. Just kept going.
Let me go. I'm fine. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's kind of how it started.
But it's kind of cool to see that, though, because, like, your dad would be like, all right, Mia, get over it. Let's get going. Like, get back on the horse. Like, you probably learned a whole bunch of lessons that you didn't even think you knew just by that first little incident.
Oh, absolutely.
That's pretty cool, though, man. I like hearing those stories. It really means a lot to me. Like, so what, like, when you get out of the car and you're done with that little tip over, the done with that little race, like, what are you thinking in your head? You're like, oh my God, I just crashed, but this is the best thing?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, in the moment, it was pretty scary, but afterwards, I mean, you have time to think about it. Like, and then you're like, that was pretty sick. Like,
do you remember how old you were at the time?
I think I was 7.
Whoa.
When I first started out, I was pretty slow. Like, my first race, I think I finished 3 out of the 6 laps or something. Like, I was pretty slow.
Oh, okay. So, like, the leaders, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, everybody. That's how everybody starts out, you know, you get comfortable with it, you get to learn the car, what it can do, what you can do.
Well, I think that's going to be one of the things that we talk about, but, like, what do you, like, maybe think about this and answer it later, but, like, telling people not to quit because, like, you know, they go out there the first time and they don't expect to win or their parents put too much pressure on them, like, those kinds of things. So, we can get into that, but, it's pretty crazy for me to think. So if you were 7 and it was like the right around the first time that you guys went to the off-road races, now you're 19. Mm-hmm. That's 12 years of experience that you have in off-road racing. That is phenomenal.
It's crazy. It doesn't even really feel like it's been that long. Like, I remember racing mod carts like it was yesterday. Like, time has really flown by.
Well, just think about, like, what if you had 12 years of piano lessons? Like, you'd be the bomb at playing piano, right? Yeah. Like, you'd be, like, totally shredding the keys. Like, so I always think about it like that, and I'm just like, man, it's so crazy. And then I also do the adverse and look at it from, like, a guy like my point of view. Like, I grew up racing dirt bikes and stuff like that, but my four-wheel career, it's not done yet, but it's, like, I've only done it for 5 years. Like, well, actually 6 now if I counted last year, but you're double that.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
You know what I mean? And I'm like twice your age. So it's like, holy crap. Like, you have so much more experience than people probably give you credit for.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been awesome, really. I've learned so much in these past 12 years. And I'm glad I'm still able to do this. Luckily, it's such a fun sport to be in.
Totally. Well, you probably met some of your best friends doing this, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, I had friends in school growing up, but then as it started getting busier and busier, like, you meet so many amazing families at the track that you kind of adapt and bring into your family, and it's literally just one big family.
Yeah, totally. We're even getting some comments coming in saying, hey, what's up, Mia and George, the Dirt Life. So it's kind of cool because they know you, you know, like, they're, like, off-road racers as well. So I think it's cool that you have that. Like, let's actually take a step back from off-road racing and kind of talk about the other stuff that you were into. Cause I remember you telling me one time at the races that you barely got to the track because you had like a cheer meet or something like that. So you were into girly stuff too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I did cheer when I was about 12 years old up until I was about 16, I believe.
That's a pretty long time.
It is. Yeah. Which is crazy. Cause I mean, that's polar opposites, right? Like, nobody expects that.
Yeah, not at all. Like, I totally didn't expect that when you first told me. I was like, whoa, I thought she was like all off-road girl. And then you're like, yeah, I'm into cheer too. And I was like, that's pretty cool though, because that shows that you're well-rounded and you're into other stuff.
Yeah, no, it was cool for sure. It taught me a lot, kind of how to balance things, especially with having a pretty demanding cheer schedule. I mean, I was doing competition cheer, my school cheer at the same time. So it was two different practices that we have multiple times during the week. And then on top of that, going to the racetrack on the weekends.
I was
going to
say, like, how do you manage that? Well, first of all, like, how do you manage it? How do your parents manage that?
It drove them pretty crazy. It was a lot of running around.
Dude, I was going to say, like, can you imagine how many rides that they were like, holy crap, like, I just gave her a ride yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And then you also have a little brother, Ryder. Mm-hmm. Is that your only other sibling?
I have Ryder, and then I have another brother and another sister.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's cool. I didn't know your family was that big.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Is Ryder the only one that also races off-road?
Yep, Ryder's the only one.
But he's super into it, right?
Oh, super into it.
But I like, your dad was telling me a story about your brother that, he's like more about the people in off-road, and like he like rescued a kid that was tipped over on the track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so sweet. And your brother's how old?
He's 12.
Yeah, and he rescued him, what, last year or something? Like, that's so crazy for me to think about how much compassion he has for other human beings.
Right, especially being so young. Like, I didn't think they really thought about that.
Clearly he does.
Yeah, and I was like, good for you, dude. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you guys all for joining us. I really appreciate it. Feel free to ask Mia any questions, too, if you guys have anything that you want to talk to her about. We have a pretty cool, you won't be able to see it on Instagram, but we have a cool shot of Mia's race car in the back there. What kind of car is that?
It's a Polaris Razor 1000.
Oh, okay. So it's normally aspirated or is it a turbo?
Yep. Naturally aspirated.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's cool, man. And you've raced this, it looks like, in Best in the Desert?
Yep, I raced it this full year. It's going to be what I'm racing into the next 2022 season as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's pretty cool. That's a pretty nice car, man.
It is. It definitely gets the job on it, and it's reliable. Like, we haven't really had that many issues with it, and I mean, we've beat it to heck in the desert, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a good car.
cleans up nice.
Yeah. Well, how come you decided to go with blue instead of like a more girly color? Was that a sponsor deal?
No, but I did the pink for years in racing. So
tired of it?
I got kind of over it. And then we tried the red with the when we raced the Arta Cat and had a pretty bad year in that.
Oh, so. I remember. Yeah, so you're not doing red again, huh?
Yeah, no. Decided that was bad luck. I like blue, so we went with blue.
And you've been having a lot better luck with blue?
Yeah.
That front bumper looks like it's got some action, man.
It's seen a lot, yeah.
It's got a few little reminders of who you guys have moved out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. We'll talk a little bit more about the racing. Alexia said, any big future plans for racing? That's something that we're going to talk about, but let's give her a little sneak peek.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely got some cool stuff in the works for the 2022 season. Yeah, I know we're going to talk about it a little later, so I'm just going to say stay tuned.
So, Alexia, you can come back later or you can hang out and talk with us. What's the next car? Same or different plans?
Same car. This is what we'll be
Thanks,
racing
Mitch.
In the Best in the Desert season. Next year, try to do as many races as we can. Luckily, like I said, it's a reliable car and we go through it before and after every race. So
you have a pretty good team that looks over the car?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, for the most part, it's just me and my dad and my co-driver, Shane Till, that works on it most of the time. So.
Actually, that's a good point that we should bring up now. Like, so I want to talk a little bit more about like going through mod carts and stuff. But the whole time that you've been racing, you and your dad or your family, and even Riders Program, you guys have been managing most of it yourselves. Like, how is that coming? Like, well, I guess you didn't know any different, right? You just know like what you guys are doing. But seeing how programs are managed now, either on a professional level or on a amateur level, how do you think it is, all of the stuff that you learn right now, how much do you think it's changed your life?
I mean, it's changed it a bunch for my entire race career. It's literally been, you know, me, my dad, a couple people here and there, and then my little brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's kind of all we ever known, but it works for us. I mean, we get the job done. It gives us, you know, a bonding chance with, it's a whole family thing.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome.
It is cool. And that, like, it teaches you so many life lessons, right? Like, life lessons that you would never, ever experience. Like, I just use the analogy of playing a piano, right? Like, you would never, ever be stuck in the middle of the desert trying to fix something like MacGyver a wheel on a car or whatever, playing a piano. Like, you have to really, really be able to push yourself and be a troubleshooter. And that teaches you all kinds of life lessons for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a lot of discipline that comes with the sport for sure.
And so like when you were, I mean, clearly you're learning that discipline and you've learned it since you were 7 years old, but, what was the thing that made you, well, actually, before I ask this question, did you have two paths? Did you have like the cheerleader girly path or the off-road path? Or did you know that you were just going to go down the off-road path?
I knew I was going to go down the off-road path. You know, cheerleading was just a fun thing to do on the side and kind of keep me active during it and keep in shape for racing. But, yeah, ultimately, I always knew it was going to be off-road.
Oh, actually, so the guys over at Desert Squadron, John said, or use a throttle cable with vice grips. That's somebody that you know that did that, right?
Yeah, did you hear that story?
Yeah,
yeah, my little brother did that. That was so awesome.
Dude, that's so funny. So what did he do? Did he tell you the whole story?
Yeah. So the car he was racing, he didn't have his own car all year because we sold it and got him an RS1 and it just wasn't ready in time.
Oh, okay. So he was like rent-a-rad?
Yeah. So never raced this car before, first time. He goes out there and championship points are really tight. So we're like hoping for the best, just taking it easy. And yeah, the throttle cable breaks.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, then they pull him over into the hot pits and get him a pair of vice grips and put it on the throttle cable so he can just control it like that. And
with his hand?
Yeah, and that's how he finished the next, like, I think it was 4 or 5 laps.
Where was this at?
Oh, where was it?
Was it some, like, local race, like AZOP or something, or what was it?
It was the last Best in the Desert race.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, man. So, dude, that's a MacGyver, and that's also pushing through, right? So, like, we're talking about you learning a lot of lessons and stuff. He's learning a lot, too, man.
Oh, that boy knows so much for being so young. It kind of blows my mind sometimes.
That's cool. That's because he's super into it, though. So that's kind of what I was going to talk about with you, though, too, is like the amount of stuff that you've learned since you guys have operated your own program has got to be pretty mind-blowing to you. Like, if I ask you a question about a car, you could probably give me a pretty good answer. If I ask most 19-year-old girls, they wouldn't be able to tell me what, you know, a tire or a wheel pressure gauge looks like. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty rad that you have all those, I don't know, learned all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you're learning how to work on your own stuff, and that teaches you a lot because, you know, a lot of people, you know, have people that do it for them or something like that. But for us, I mean, we're doing it all on our own. We're learning how it goes at such a young age, but I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
I think that's so cool, man. Like, it really brings a lot of joy to my heart to be able to hear that, because that means that you're pushing forward to it and you're working for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It probably feels that much better when you're on the podium then.
Oh, yeah. That, for sure.
That's so cool. Wyatt Hastings, what's up, man? Jim Beaver, a few other people. Chase Razor, what's up? So you go through and you kind of get in the mod carts and you're enjoying your first, well, junior carts. And then you're like, okay, well, what's the next step? And your dad's like, oh, well, you're getting bigger. You can have a mod cart. And those things are like next level.
Those things are nuts.
Dude, they're so crazy. Two-wheel drive. Well, explain it to the people that are listening.
Yeah, so a mod cart is essentially a more beefed up version of like a junior two cart. Like, they have a lot faster motors, you're shifting in the cars. Like, you're doing a lot in a car at such a young age you wouldn't normally expect.
So it's kind of like if you have zero idea what off-road is, I would kind of relate it to a little go-kart, but with a big motorcycle engine and only two-wheel drive and a lot more safety, and it looks like a little truck.
Basically, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But those things, like the way that you guys would like beef them up, I mean, they were so fast. Like, they sounded like, if you guys know Supercross or Motocross, they sounded like a factory 450, like just rah, rah, like they were so powerful.
Oh, they're nuts.
How old were you when you were like, your dad was like, we'll try this? Or did you tell him that you wanted it?
I always wanted to race in the class. It was
because you've seen him?
Yeah, like growing up, you see all the drivers, different drivers that go through the mod car class. And so that's something I always wanted to do. Just budget was like the biggest thing.
Who was the guys that you were looking up to when there was mod carts?
Man, there was a lot. I mean, I grew up watching like Shelby Anderson, Sarah Price, Sheldon Creed, like all of those guys that, you know, came from the mod car class.
All amazing drivers too.
Right. Yeah, and still racing to this day. It's so cool.
It is super cool. And some of them gone on to do, like Sheldon does like NASCAR trucks, I think, now.
Yeah.
And then Sarah Price does Extreme E. And then obviously Shelby, she came out of retirement so at Texplex. So that was really cool to see. Jason Hess, what's up, man? So all of a sudden you're like, I want to be like them? Or like, what was the catalyst to get into a mod cart?
Yeah, so actually after I aged out of the junior cart class, we weren't planning to even go into mod carts until, you know, I don't know if you probably know the whole Mod Kids USA show came about.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so they kind of approached us and was wanting me to do it. And so then we kind of rerouted which way we were going to go, went in, got a mod cart. The first one we rented was from Cole Keats, and that's what I did my first season in mod cart.
Was that like a super rad car?
It was a really good car. Like, it was definitely, I think it was a little older, but it was a reliable, good car. It got me through the season.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, the first time you get in, are you like, oh my God, this thing is awesome?
Yeah, pretty much.
I've always wanted to drive a mod car. I can't fit in it, obviously, but I've always wanted to drive one.
I'm sure we could find one somewhere. But yeah, they're
it's going to need to have, like, an extension, like a four-door a four-door mod car. Do they make those?
They should.
For the big guys? That would be so fun, though, to have a big guy mod car race.
Have a dad race.
But they, like, on a serious note, though, they really do teach you the fundamentals of driving a vehicle, because they're two-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. They have really quick steering. They're insanely fast. Like, the power to weight ratio is almost like a Pro 2, basically.
Yeah.
So when you got in it, are you just like, wow, like a whole nother world? Like, I have to learn all these different things, like, because you have to start being smoother on the throttle. Like, everything changes, right?
Yeah, there was so much. I mean, the biggest thing was learning how the shifting worked and how to use a clutch and, you know, figuring out how the car handles and drives and rotates. Like, that's a lot to figure out. And it was a little overwhelming at first, but once we started hitting the track, getting some practices in, I mean, it was pretty easy to get somewhat comfortable, even though you're never really comfortable.
Do you remember? Yeah, exactly, because those cars are so fast. Like, do you remember what the hardest part to learn was for you? Because you were how old when you got in a mod car?
I think I was 13.
Okay, so do you remember what the hardest part was? Because you're already, what, a year and a half, 2 years into your, or no, you're 5 years into it.
Yeah.
So you clearly know, you know how to drive, but it's a different world. Like, so what was the hardest part to get into?
I think the hardest part for me was learning the shifting part and, you know, doing that, like, you're driving and downshifting right before a corner, then upshifting right after, like, there's a lot that goes into it and learning.
Right, all your shift points and distance and all that.
Yeah, and I mean, learning how to distribute the weight right and get the car rotated.
Yeah.
And throttle control. I think those were the three main things that
That's all, like, I guess the overall driving technique, right?
Yeah.
And you're pretty busy in those cockpits when you're little. And it's like, does it ever get confusing when you're that little? Or is it just like, boom, 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 natural?
At first, for sure, yeah, it was a little confusing. And then after a little while, it kind of comes natural to you.
Yeah. It seems like, it comes natural to you because you were doing it for a while already. But it seems like if whoever drives a mod car can usually transfer all of that into the next step in their career, like whether it's a pro light or whether it's a UTV, like what you're doing now. Like, those types of qualities of driver characteristics are really easy to put into those other vehicles.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I really think the mod car class really taught you the fundamentals of having to learn how to drive the bigger trucks, like the Pro Light trucks, the Pro 2 trucks, the Pro 4 trucks. Because essentially, they're just a bigger version of a mod car, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pro 4 is a little bit more control because it's got four-wheel drive, but... Jason Dusty Summit said, what's up? What's good? I really think that there's a lot to be admired, though, because when you look at how hard your family is working, how much time you're spending away from other activities, how much you guys are putting into this racing program. I mean, you're only, at this point, 12 or 13 years old, but that's a pretty big next step because a mod car is not cheap to operate. You still have to have money to go to the races and all of these different things. So you got to really respect the level of effort that your whole family is putting into it for you.
Oh, for sure. I mean, my dad was always out there working on my car, driving me to races. And, you know, same thing with my mom. She was at all of my races supporting us. And it definitely took the whole family to, you know, make all of that happen.
And how did the family work at the races? Was it pretty stressful environment? Was it easygoing environment? Was it teamwork makes a dream work kind of environment?
Definitely more of a teamwork makes a dream work kind of environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was never really stressful. I always like having, you know, people I'm close to and, you know, good friends with around me. Just good people overall.
Yeah. And yeah, I totally agree with that too, because it makes the whole environment better for you when you're out there racing, right?
Yeah, a lot less stressful.
Oh, wait, who is your spotter then? Jimmy?
Jimmy was, yeah, it was my dad and Jimmy for most of the time.
So what I heard was, like, I used to have my girlfriend spot for me, and then, like, she would always wig out. And then so, like, somebody told me one day, they're like, you can't have anybody that, like, is vested in you being your spotter. They, like, your spotter has to, like, not care what happens.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that a good statement for you guys, too, or no?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the spotter has to be somebody who's disconnected or only cares about winning the race kind of thing. Yeah.
Like, my mom had to stay far away from the spotter's tower when I was racing.
Oh, because she would get all wild up there, or what?
She'd get so into it when I, like, wrecked or something, or some racing incident happened. Like,
you took out my daughter!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you definitely got to keep your mom away from that spotter's tower then. That's crazy. So, you did grow up, and you pretty much raced Lucas Oil Short Course for your Lucas Oil Regionals for the first good portion of your racing career, but was there any other races that you went to? Did you do any local races like AZOP or anything like that?
Yeah, we did a little bit of AZOP. And
what kind of cars?
The same thing as this.
The Razors?
Yeah, just a little older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you, were you a co-driver? Were you a driver? Like,
I was a driver. The races were only about an hour long, hour and a half sometimes.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, we did that like when we didn't have races, just had some free time. Here and there, so.
We're going to get your manager, Jim Beaver, on the line here, and we're going to talk with him a little bit and see what kind of good stuff he can say about you too, right?
Oh, man.
So, well, especially because Jimmy wants to talk crap on you later. So, Jim Beaver, what's up, buddy? How are you?
What's happening, guys? Just got back from SoCal, sitting here in the race shop. So, yeah, life is definitely good. Long day on the road.
Man, that's so cool that you guys get to hang out all the time, though. Just seeing this woman and her insane love for off-road, man, you get to hear this on a weekly, daily basis.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of nervous having any kind of conversation with her at the moment because she's got an IOU in the bank. So I hit her in the face with a rubber band and an autograph signing. So,
are you serious?
I'm kind of nervous to even talk with her right now because I have no idea what's ever coming my way. She's got an IOU in the back pocket.
Maybe she, if you're at the race shop, maybe one of your guys that's working there has got a rubber band pointed straight at you. She, worked out a deal with him.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, the ongoing rumor is Mia has, these world-famous brownies, legitimately, world-famous brownies, best brownies you'll ever have.
Really?
Girl, actually, she should hang up her helmet and start selling brownies. But I'm worried that I'm going to get, an X-Lax batch or something like that. So.
Here, Jim, here's a tasty treat.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's just going to be laughing the whole time. I'm I don't know. I got to be selective when I eat those brownies and order John around or something like that.
Hey, so I want to go a little bit further into this because, I didn't know you were a good cook. Is that the only thing you cook, brownies, or are you, all over there just Chef Mia?
Man, I'm good with baking.
You're not, the good, enchilada girl? Are you just, yeah, like...
I mean, I can cook, but my mom is,
tamales.
The main cook. Oh, it's
Molly's. Make some bomb tamales. Yeah. Make some bomb tamales.
Dude, Christmas time is the best time for tamales, too.
Yeah, we just made, I think it was 20 dozen last week.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, how much work was that?
It was an all-day thing.
Holy smokes, man. So did you bring me any? Kind of disappointed, girl.
How long are you in town for?
All right, so let's talk a little bit about when you were first introduced to Mia, Jim, because we're kind of down the road where she's... basically, she's just getting into a mod cart and she's learning how to drive and really perfecting her craft here. So when was the time that you met her?
I met her at Crandon when she got her Red Bull helmet from Menzies. I was doing the live stream at Crandon that year. And that was, I'd known about her. She's an Arizona girl and I'm from Arizona. So I'd known about, her dad and the family for years, watched her. But the first time I actually met her was then and had her on my radio show, literally, I think the next week or something like that. And kid really just blew me away because I think she was 15 and I was like, where the heck did this girl learn how to talk like this? She'd had media training and everything else. And it was like, man, she was polished. You know what I mean? And that was kind of I was impressed. One, she could wheel, but she could actually, most 15-year-olds couldn't talk like her, you know? And so that was the first time I actually met her, was right around Crandon time when she was 15.
Dude, that's pretty cool that he has that to say about you, right? Did you even know that he knew all that about you?
Yeah, when we first met, we kind of got into that and he told me a little bit and I literally had no idea I could talk as well as he said I did.
Yeah.
So that was,
when he told you that, did you look at other people and how they talk and how they, interact with, media or other people?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, growing up in racing, you always see the older people, do their interviews and stuff and you kind of take pointers off of that. But
well, I think Jim will agree with me here. Jim is the professional, not me, but when you can talk on a normal level and not be a robot and also not be completely retarded, so to speak, you can be a normal person, that's the most valuable. And I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah. I mean, literally just having a conversation instead of, getting choked up and not knowing what to say. I think that was the biggest
thing. Do you think that comes, or Jim, actually, this is a good question for you. Do you think that comes because they put so much effort into their racing program as a family?
What do you mean in regards to her and the media presence and that?
Well, I'm thinking to myself, she can speak normally about it because that's what she was raised doing.
Yeah, I think she's been around it, you know what I mean? So it's not, fish out of water type of thing. She's been around it since the time she grew up. I think me and Mia connect on a certain level because a lot of people don't realize it, but I'm way introverted, right? And people wouldn't know that. And Mia's way introverted. But I think when you've been around the industry long enough, you can kind of flip that switch. So she goes from introverted Mia and I go from introverted Jim to all of a sudden cameras are on. Oh, by the way, hey, I'm Jim Beaver. And
yeah.
So I think me and Mia have a good relationship because I understand the shoes that she's in, because we very much have a similar personality in certain regards like that. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, you're right. Like, she grew up around this from the time she was a young kid. So it's like all she knew was racing. So it makes it easy to talk about something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you know about. You know, it's like these kids with video games now that watch YouTube videos, stuff like that. You could roll a camera and ask them about Minecraft, and you know what I mean? They could go, you know, go to town talking about that, or Fortnite or something like that. You ask them about anything else and it would be like deer in the headlights crickets. So I think, you know, when you get somebody at that age, but it's all they know and it's all they've been around, it makes it a whole lot easier to talk about.
Yeah, 100%. That's funny that you say that too, that you guys both bring that up, is we were actually having a conversation the other day with me and some friends, is like, they're like, George likes attention. And I'm like, dude, you have zero idea who I am. And the other guy goes, yeah, he doesn't care. Like, he would rather be sitting in a room by himself, just like reading a book or like watching a video. Like, that's where he gets his enjoyment. But when we do get to talk about stuff that we're passionate about, all of us get fired up.
Yeah. And I think that's it. You know what I mean? It's like when you get passionate about something, it makes it a whole lot easier to talk about, you know, or, you know, you get a comfort level around the people you're with and things like that too. But, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, and it's funny, you're that way, I'm that way, me is that way. And it's like, I can give you a list of people I know in the industry and people, I mean, all the way up to top level IndyCar and NHRA racers that are exact same way. Like, they actually don't like attention, but because of their job, you know, they've learned how to, you know, turn it on when they have to, you know, and things like that, you know. So it's just kind of, it's one of those interesting dynamics. You start getting into media and things like that and finding out how people actually interact and how they actually can do that, because it's part of the job and being in the industry, you know what I mean? Even if you're just on the brand side and you're a marketing person, you have to learn to talk to people, you know, and give interviews and things like that. And it's kind of interesting just to see how people cope and manage to be able to do that and turn that switch.
Yeah, 100%. And Mia, this is where you're supposed to say, Jim, don't get comfortable. I got a rubber band coming right for you.
Oh, he won't forget.
Truthfully, she probably owes me a slingshot or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
Jim's sleeping over there with one eye open.
Yeah, exactly.
You're only like 200 miles away, but you're still sleeping with one eye open, waiting.
Hey, that's close enough.
Yeah. If I knew, you know, Mia likes to sleep in, because if she was a morning person, I'd really be worried I'd wake up with like a spider on me or something like that. She's never going to get up early enough to beat me out of bed. So it's one of those.
Are you good at playing pranks, Mia? Are you good at like a prankster?
You know, I think so. I think I'm stealthy enough.
Oh, she's going to sneak one in, dude. When's the next time you're going to be around Jim?
Man. A couple of weeks at Parker for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to make sure that I'm penciling my schedule for that so I can go see what happens.
Oh, yeah. I got 2 weeks of planning ahead of me. Plenty of time.
Perfect.
Oh, gosh. That's not good. That's not good. 2 weeks of planning.
Well, so when you talk about Parker, are you going to race Parker?
Yep. That's the first race for the Best in Desert season.
So that what you're going to do next year then?
That's the plan as of right now.
Just see kind of where it goes?
Yeah. We got a couple things in the works. Like right now we're kind of trying to put together a pro light program with Yokohama for next year.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, go race champs. So yeah, it's still up in the air. We're still trying to figure it out, but for sure we'll be running that in the Best in Desert series.
Well, we're going to still talk about your upbringing and coming up from mod cars and stuff, but we'll Tarantino it a little bit here. And so when you're talking about doing the pro light stuff and doing it on the Midwest, that series is actually really, really competitive in the pro light class. There's tons of drivers that are out there, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I raced the Pro Light for the first time at Crandon this year. First time ever being in it, that's where I raced it at. And it was no joke. I mean, there's some serious talent in there.
How was it, like, putting yourself out there in a Pro Light? Or did you get to watch that, Jim, or no?
Yeah, we were there. We were lucky. Menzies put me up on the scissor lift, so I got to see bird's eye view of the whole both days of Pro Light racing.
Oh, cool. So you could give her some tips and tricks, huh?
No, I got no tips and tricks when it comes to short course. She's the one that, with the tips and tricks, not me.
So what was the vibe then after you drove it the first time?
Yeah, the first time I drove it was a couple weeks before the actual race. We went out there and tested for I think 2 days, and it was pretty nuts. Like, I've always dreamed of racing a Pro Light.
So was it like similar to the mod car thing, just less power?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's bigger, it's heavier, has more power. So it came pretty fast to me, which I was surprised at because I didn't know how fast I would be able to pick it up. But it went really good. Yeah, we went out to Crandon the first day. I think I did eighth. So, I mean, you know, we were running up there still. The second day I did fourth.
Whoa, there you go.
Yeah, so
quick learner over here, Jim. Dang, that's pretty good.
I know. It was kind of cool to watch. And I don't know if you've ever – I mean, Crandon's just nuts. Like, to me, to get top five in Crandon in any class is pretty wild. You know, it's just – I don't know, that turn one, and especially like Labor Day Crandon when they've got like 25 in pretty much every class, it's wild. Even Pro 4 has got like 15, 16 trucks. I mean, it's just – yeah. I don't know, top five in Crandon in pretty much anything, like – I don't know. You know, I've had so many people go, oh, you know, you want to try short course? I'm like, dude, I don't have a chance. Like, you have to put in the work with short course. Like, I don't know anybody that can go their first time. Even the best trophy drift drivers, they still struggle, you know, making the transition to short course. It's just such a brutal sport, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. And this statement doesn't hold true for Mia, but, like, I always tell everybody at Crandon, you got to have massive cojones to be able to drive that track because, like
– oh, big time.
Dude, like, so balls of steel, so to speak. But for Mia, like, what were you thinking when you first went out there? Were you just like, oh, my God, this is the fastest I've ever gone in an off-road car?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I was super nervous. I didn't know really what to expect because, you know, I went testing out there with no one on the track. I don't know. I didn't know how it was going to be with the whole field.
And so, you're talking about, literally, like Jim said, like a big field.
A big field, yeah. It was stacked. And it was craziness the whole race, both days.
All right, so I've always wanted to know this because I've never got to drive at Crandon. I've always wanted to know how awesome it feels going into the first turn just wide open against all of those other people.
It's insane. Like, it really gets your adrenaline going. That's how it starts it off.
How do you manage that adrenaline? How do you manage that rush to be calm and going into the first turn to still take care of business?
I think you kind of just learn it over the years, like, just to take deep breaths before you take off. And most of the time you don't even realize it because you're so focused on just nailing the turns you need to nail.
Yeah.
And thinking ahead like that.
Just only focusing on your little zone.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dang, that's crazy. And so Jim, when you see her go into that first turn, are you just like, all right, it's on now?
Well, that's, I think, the thing with anybody. And I know you guys got Jimmy Owens calling in at some point. He was her spotter in Crandon. So that's going to be kind of interesting to get his take. But like, to me, I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're Keegan Kincaid or Johnny Greaves or Bryce Menzies. Like, you want to be through first turn clean. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, I think you start really, you don't want to check up going into the first turn, but it's like, you want to get through it clean. And then you really start racing after you get through turn one clean, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, but when you have that many trucks going in or UTVs or whatever it is, like, it's just wild. It's crazy to watch. And I've always said that if nobody's ever stood in turn one at Crandon, when the Pro Fours or like the Cup race goes off, you know, you've never experienced racing. Like, it's the craziest thing ever to stand inside of turn one and watch everybody go by at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would love to do that one day. Still, I have yet to be at Crandon. I would love to do that. Cause like, even when I watch the videos of it, like, it makes my heart shake when I see it. I'm like, oh my God, like, that was so sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. That was my first time racing on the big track there.
And that's why I want to like know how it feels from your perspective, like going into it. Like,
it's so hard to describe because
after you get through the first turn, does it ease up though? Like, are you like, oh, deep breath?
No, I mean a little bit, but no, like I said, I mean, it was craziness the whole time. There's trucks crashing here and there, going back and forth. I mean, it was nuts.
Really?
But it was so much
fun. Here's a question, Mia. Here's a question, Mia, though, because you've done it in a UTV and a mod cart. Obviously, carts, I mean, you kind of grew up around those. But, I mean, like, UTV being the open wheels and then obviously the Pro Lights, which are faster. I mean, what's tougher? What's more stressful, the UTVs or the open wheel? Because you tumble in turn one, you touch wheels in a UTV, and it's just wild ride. On the trucks, you know, you got a little bit of leeway where you lean on somebody, but it's faster, you know? So, what's more intimidating?
I think the trucks are more intimidating. There's just a lot more going on.
Louder.
It's louder. You're in a much bigger vehicle. And, you know, if you crash, it's going to hurt that much more.
Yeah. Like all the weight distribution and all that. Dang. That is kind of crazy. I would think that it would be, to me, Jim, just with the experience that we have, like, I would be a little bit more scared with the UTV guys just because you don't know who's around you compared to some of the big drivers in the Pro Light class. But I guess to each their own, right? And Mia's got more experience than both of us at Crandon, so.
Yeah, exactly. I've done nothing but Terracross as far as short course goes, so I don't know. I defer to the expert over there.
Dude, that's cool, though, man, that you've had the opportunity to do that. How many times have you been to Crandon, or is it just once?
I've been quite a few times. I think we went 3 years in the mod carts when we raced that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they had a different track, though, right?
Yeah, we just did the short track.
Oh, okay. And so then, finally, you get your opportunity to go on the big track.
I know.
Dude.
It's so cool.
The smile on her face, Jim. Oh, my gosh, dude. give us a little bit of an understanding of how much respect you have for this young girl and where she's at in her racing career now.
Well, it's been pretty awesome to watch her, you know, and it's one of those where I don't co-drive well, and it was funny because we were doing some shock testing out here, Parker, and I don't know if Joe brought it up or somebody, and they're like, oh, you should, you know, jump in the car with Mia so you can tell us what's going on in the car. And like, I was so scared to jump in the car there because I don't co-drive, but we start mobbing through these whoops, and I'm going, holy crap. And then I was like, all right. I was like, I knew there was this one bad one here in Parker. And I'm like, all right, this car is going to upset itself. It's going to go up on its nose. I just know, because even the best tuned cars still go up on their nose. I'm like, either we're going to wad this thing up or this girl can drive. And it was funny because we go up and I'm like, we hit it just like we knew I would. Thing goes up on its nose. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And just like butter, this kid steers right out of it, sets the rear of the car down. And just like nothing, never let off the gas once. And I was like, all right. I was like, she's earned my respect. This kid can drive. Like when you're in a car and you watch that, and I watch her hands work, and it wasn't like she ever panicked, nothing. She just brought it back in under control like butter. And I'm like, I've seen so many people wadded up there in the races and everything else. And it was just like, I was like, all right, color me impressed. And then to watch what she did at Cranning going into a Pro Light for the first time ever and to finish fourth in her first weekend of Pro Light racing at Cranning, I was like, all right, kid can wheel, you know? And all the talent in the world, you know, I think it's just one of those things where it's, you know, with a lot of things, it's, you know, putting yourself in really good positions, and yeah. She started to do that, you know, and I think, you know, I'm kind of excited to see where things take her.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, she has a good understanding of everything that goes on in the motorsports world. She understands how hard her family has worked now. She's getting a little bit of an understanding of how all the back end works with your knowledge. Yeah. And it's going to be really cool to see what happens. I mean, she's still so young. It's going to be awesome to see what happens in the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing, you know, and it's not just with her. It's like with a lot of these young kids that are coming, and I still call her a kid, and obviously she's not anymore, but it's like, you know, I never even really started my career until I was like 18, 19, because UTVs didn't exist. You know, it was like dirt bikes, quads, stuff like that. But you look at kids like that, and I mean, RJ was one of the first real products of the system, I think. But you look at how much they, you know, how much experience she's got, you know, at her age now. And it's like, she's been racing for well over a decade. I'm like, it's so different. Even Rob McCacker didn't get his start till he was like 16, 17. These kids now, you know, they got 10 years on Rob by the time they're 16, 17. It's just, to me, it's going to be crazy to see when they're 35, 40 years old, even somebody like RJ, who I said was kind of real, the first product of the youth movement in the system, like to see how good they are. Cause to me, the talent level at 18, 19, like a lot, I think they put pressure on themselves cause they've been in it so long.
Yeah.
But I look at it and I'm like, you know, and I can give you a list of kids, you know, her age that are racing, but I'm like, man, we still got to let them mature. You know what I mean? Cause none of them have peaked yet. Even a guy like RJ, who was the first that was the, you know, product of the youth system, he hasn't peaked yet. How good is RJ going to be at 35? You know, we don't know. You know, it's crazy, you know, to think like Mia, like there's all this pressure, but I'm like, man, let the girl mature. Let's see where she's at 25, you know?
100%. Yeah, there's no rush like a supercross athlete or something like that. Who, you know, this guy, Ryder Chapman, that just joined us?
Yeah.
He just jumped on.
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Hi, Ryder. But it is true that you, or it's funny that you say that, because we were talking with Mia a little bit about it earlier. And, you know, I started my four-wheel career just over 5 years ago. Her brother is, what, 12 years old now? And he's already got, like, I think 2 or 3 years on me. And Mia has been doing it for well over double the time that I was in it. Like, it's insanely cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. And I think it's crazy to see how fast they are at this age, you know. And I've been fortunate, you know, the UTV stuff kind of, you know, started, you know, shifting my career focus to more UTV stuff in the last couple of years, like to be able to race against some of these younger talents and stuff like that. And, you know, I'll tuck behind them in a race just to see how they drive. And it was a couple of years ago, I was in a turbo car and had some downtime, and Seth Quintero was in the NA car. And, you know, and I had downtime, and Seth passed me, and he thought, you know, he knew I was going to get him back. But there for a while, I just tucked in for about 10, 15 miles and just followed him just to watch Seth drive. And finally it opened up and I got around him. And, you know, after the race, Seth goes, he goes, how come you didn't pass me? I was like, well, one, you were really, really quick, and I really didn't need to, because I wasn't losing time. But I was like, two, honestly, dude, I just want to watch you drive. And like, you know, he was 17, 18 at the time, but it was actually really cool to be able to watch these lines and how good these kids are at that age. Like, I mean, to me, it still blows my mind. It's wild, you know,
and they see things differently.
Oh, they do, you know, and truthfully, I've crashed a lot. And I'm scared to death. I'm 40 years old, dude. I don't want to go end over end again, but these kids have no fear. Like, it's like, oh, whatever. And they, dude, they're like rubber. And I am not like rubber. I crash and it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sore. I'll go see my friend Judy, the chiropractor, you know, the next day.
So, nice.
It's wild, man. But yeah, it's really cool to see this youth movement and see, you know, the drivers like Mia, you know, come up through the system. And what I really loved about the youth movement is you have not only guys, but you have this amazing crop of young, talented female drivers,
yes,
that are being thrust into the industry that we never had in the past. And I think that's really, really cool. You know, to see these talented female athletes, you know, that are just as good, if not better than the men, you know, competing and going door to door. And I think that's freaking awesome.
Dude, that is so cool. That, you got to be proud of that, man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Dude, she lit up that smile again. All right, Jim, we're going to have Greg Love from Brimstone Recreation on right now. So, hey, I wanted to say thank you for lining all this stuff up here at Rigid, man. They got such an awesome little area for us to have this show, and we really appreciate you helping out this awesome woman, Mia.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you for having me on. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for everything you do for the sport, buddy.
Dude, absolutely. Same goes back to you. We'll talk to you soon, Jim.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
It's cool to see how passionate he is about off-road, right?
It is. He's a really good person.
So we're going to get Greg Love from Brimstone Recreation, I think is what it's called. Greg, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing awesome. Hey, so since we're out here on the West Coast, maybe, well, first of all, your name is Greg Love, but maybe give us a little bit of an understanding, because Mia's already met you, but myself and most of the audience hasn't. So you have a recreation park out there in Tennessee?
Yeah, we're located about 60 miles north of Knoxville in East Tennessee, up in the mountains, and got almost 20,000 acres and 300 miles of trails. So you could just go for days and days and days.
Man, that's pretty cool. And you've got to go out there and check out this place called Brimstone?
Yeah, Red Bull had the Red Bull Stone Scramble out there.
Is it because it's called Brimstone? Is that where they got it?
Yeah.
Nice. And I noticed that Red Bull keeps putting an S in front of the scramble. Sand scramble, stone scramble. Yeah.
No, but Brimstone was absolutely beautiful. It was one of the coolest places I've ever been, let alone raced at. I mean, they got an endless amount of trails, and like the trails that we were racing on, it was so much fun because we've never... A lot of us never did that type of racing.
Like, yeah, you're not a big trail girl. You're like a desert girl, right?
Yeah, so it was really cool to kind of get out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Was that the picture that I saw of you where you're all muddy? Mm-hmm. Like you're like, yeah. Even your like face is muddy underneath your visor?
Yeah, it was pretty muddy. It rained like all day.
But so you get different types of terrain and stuff out there, Greg, and obviously you have to deal with the weather too.
Oh, absolutely. And of course... This first race that we had was beautiful until about 30 minutes from the start, and then it started raining, and it rained through the whole race. So
it always works like that, difficult. Right?
Oh yeah,
oh yeah, yeah. It was picture perfect the whole time. So you know, and I tell everybody, I said if it was easy, Red Bull wouldn't do it. So
that's very true.
Kind of, yeah. But it was a whole lot of fun. I enjoyed meeting Mia and her dad, Joe. And, you know, it was kind of funny when I first came up and met them, I was talking to her dad, and then Mia and this guy comes up and with her, and I kept looking at him and I thought she would say something. And so I said, is this your boyfriend?
And who was it?
She just kind of looked at me. Yeah. And so she kind of looked at me funny, and I looked at her dad, and her dad looked at her. And it was like he was saying, okay, let's hear it. And so that was the first time meeting Mia, and it was kind of funny. I still laugh about it. But we had just a great time with her and her family and all of our sponsors. And, you know, just having them there was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it seems like it would be really cool, and especially like what you're saying, Mia, is like it puts you in a whole different world.
Yeah, no, it really does.
Well, tell us a little bit about that then. So you obviously, you've never raced in Tennessee before. And then you also, you all of a sudden, you're going across the country, you race in Tennessee, you got your UTV, and it's totally different terrain. Everything's different. Like, does it even feel like the same as what you're used to?
Not really. I mean, I've never been to Tennessee, let alone raced in Tennessee. So
yeah.
That was a whole different ball game. But it was so much fun. Like, it was so different. It got me out of my comfort zone, and I learned a lot of things. I mean, I didn't really know I could do.
Well, give us a little bit of detail on, like, what the race was about and, like, where you went, how the track was, how many competitors, like, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so it was the Red Bull Stone Scramble, as I said, and it was more of, like, a rock crawl type of race, a lot more rocky sections through the trees, you know, out through there. And it was very different because I'm not used to woods racing,
right,
let alone, you know, throwing some rock crawling in there.
Totally different tactics.
Yeah. So I learned a lot about things I didn't know I could do, like racing through the trees at that fast of a speed. And, you know, and it rained the whole time, which just threw another challenge at us too. But I think that made it even funner. It was more of a challenge. And, it was just overall such a good time.
I mean, how was it like going through the trees and stuff? Like, so obviously Greg has been doing it for a long time since he's a native there. But when you see those trees, you really have to be understanding of the characteristics of the car, the width of the car, like how you can fit through. You almost have to be like more one with the car because you don't want to clip anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Especially with, you know, throwing mud in there, like you don't really know what the car is going to do. So
it's like slips out or whatever, slides.
Yeah, yeah, I hit a few trees.
But oh, you did?
We don't got to talk about that.
Did you break your car?
No, luckily there is no, like, major damage, but I gave a few little love taps.
Hey, kudos to Greg for making a good track, though.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Well, you know, I just, you know, I had the vision for it probably a year and a half ago, and we had been planning this race with Red Bull for over 2 years, so with, you know, COVID coming on, we put it off for so long that it was so nice to finally put it together. But I had a good friend of mine, Hubert Rowland, come up and I basically told him, we rode around for about 30 minutes and along the trails looking at things. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to incorporate all the elements that Brimstone has in this race. And that's the only requirement. And so he did all the work after that and put together a fantastic track.
Hey, so you can blame it on Hubert. You just tell him, hey, maybe could you space the trees out a little bit more next time, buddy?
That made it interesting, though.
What was the whole, like, everybody, all the drivers and stuff? Because I think a few other drivers from the West Coast went over there, right, that were Red Bull athletes, like Seth Quintero and Mitch Guthrie, and there was probably obviously some other really good drivers out there. What did everybody think about it?
I mean, like, yeah, like us West Coast people never really done that before.
Yeah.
So it was a whole new ball game, but we were just excited to be doing something different and, you know, expanding our horizons. And I know everybody had a ton of fun, even with all like the rain and mud. Like I said, it just made it more of a challenge. And we got out after the race and we were all just laughing because there's so much mud everywhere.
Did you have to wash your car after it was done or did you just like hit the road?
Yeah. No. Well, it rained after the race, so it got some of it off.
Oh, thank God. Woo.
But, you know, once we got home, it was a real mess.
So the Dune and Destroy guys are saying, let's go, we're down. So, yeah, see, you even got some sand guys excited to get out there, Greg.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was so good to have some of the people from the West Coast come over and do this. And I had seen some of them at the Mountain Scramble out in Pennsylvania back in May. And so I got to visit with some of them, and it was just, you know, good to hear them say, hey, we want to come over there and ride your park because we've heard about it for so long. And so it was just great to have the West Coast meet the East Coast.
Yeah, so Legion Motor Group says there's nothing like the mud. Yeah, I can definitely agree with that, especially like, and I haven't even raced like a race like what you're talking about. Like, I'm talking about like a mud race at Glen Helen or something. I spent like almost 10 hours trying to get the car clean after that. Like, that's the worst part.
Yeah, imagine that, but like 10 times more muddier.
No, I don't want to imagine that. But I do want to race one of those races. It seems like it's pretty cool. So give us a little bit more understanding of what the facility entails and maybe some events that are coming up, Greg.
Yeah, so our specialty over the years has been holding large events, But also, we do a lot of corporate retreats and things like that. So the week before this race, we had 50 Red Bull distributors that came in for 2 days and just had fun. And so it's good to see people that have never gotten out and got on a side-by-side to get on the trails. And it's fun to see. And, I always do a test and to see how many people have their cell phones and recording social media and those things. And after about 10 minutes on the trails, most of the people just put their phone up and just lose themselves. So it's so much fun to see that happen. But we also have events, two times a year that we bring in some country music and just have a weekend of rides and events. And we've incorporated the Stone Scramble into our event once a year too for the next several years. So we're really looking forward to having that and nailing that date out. In the next little bit.
Right on. It sounds like you got some fantastic stuff happening. What's your favorite music, Mia? Or your favorite type of music?
I don't know. I like rap. I like country music. I listen to them both.
Oh, you listen? What about punk rock? Not a big punk rock girl?
Yeah, not so much. A little bit, but.
So there, you could go out and get some country music in and go some riding.
Well, actually, when we had the race at Brimstone earlier this year, after the race, they had like a concert with some pretty big country music singers afterwards.
Yeah, were you stoked on that?
It was so much fun.
Yeah, there you go. See, I think you're doing it right over there, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. We're trying to get as many of these, like Mia and her family to move over here towards us.
Yeah, there you go.
It's tempting. My dad always says he wants to move over there. Like,
really?
He's down. Yep. Yeah.
Nice. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's super cool.
Who knows? You might have a good Red Bull next door neighbor here one of these days, Greg.
Hey, we will welcome her anytime. She knows that.
That's awesome. Have you seen how official Joe's beard is looking these days? I haven't seen it for a couple of years, and it's looking pretty good.
It's been a little while, but he's got it going on.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to meet this wonderful young lady over there when she came out in the race with you guys. I'm sure you guys are looking forward to having her come back again, but I'm really excited to see that not only that you guys are offering this stuff and obviously making progress with your facility, but I'm glad to see that the industry is supporting you guys, and I'm glad to see that you guys are supporting the industry too. It means a lot to all of us that are in the off-road industry that everything is working out and growing so well.
Yeah, I appreciate that, George. We couldn't be who we are without our sponsors, and we've got some great partners out there, and just appreciate all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't do it without them, right? And you couldn't do it without all the racers and people that are out there, too. So if you guys are interested, how can they communicate with you guys, Greg?
Well, the best way is just get on Instagram, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, check out our website. We've got cabins, we've got campgrounds, and we've got rentals. We've got a whole fleet of Polaris razors that we rent. So you come out there and not even have a side-by-side and have a great time, stay in a cabin and ride.
Oh, that'd be fun, huh?
Right? It sounds so nice.
Yeah. So Mia and I are like thinking about maybe doing that instead of racing. Obviously, both of us agree on coming and hanging out.
I know. I've been telling him after that race. I was like, I want to go back out so bad. Like, we're going to make a trip.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's awesome, man. I think that's really cool what you guys are doing. And obviously, best of luck in the future, too.
Yeah, thanks so much, George and Mia. Good to see you. And I'm a big fan. We're all a big fan of Mia's over here.
Yeah, we all
thank
love
you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Greg. We'll see you later. I don't know if you know how to click the X to get off Instagram, but we'll see you later, bud. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so everybody that's on Instagram right now, you're just going to have to sit there and watch basically a blank screen with all this stuff on in the background, because we're going to take a quick commercial break. You can go look at the commercials, have fun, and look at it on Facebook and YouTube if you want. But we'll be back in about, 7-10 minutes or so. We'll see you guys in a second.
Hello, I'm Justin, the founder of Shock Therapy. Shock Shock Therapy has been around for 5 years, but we have personally been tuning suspension on off-road cars and race vehicles for over 25 years. We tune between 10 and 15 cars per day, every single day of the week. Our concentration is tuning shock systems and supplying components that improve the ride quality of your car in many ways. Not only do we work on the average UTV, but we also tune suspension for race teams and professional drivers. We currently tune for over 87 race teams in Bessemer Desert and Score. Our clients and race teams rely on our suspension components to allow them to win races and keep them safe. Suspension is a moving target. We are always trying to hit that target with every customer that we work with. Each customer's needs can be different, and we tune our kits accordingly. Our research and development never stops. We improve our components every single day. As the industry evolves and improves, so do our parts and kits. As of right now, we have over 100 products for UTVs. So when you bring your car to us, you have the satisfaction of knowing that you have the most experience, the highest quality products, and the fact that your car is being tuned specifically to you.
Zollinger Racing builds the best aftermarket products available, products for your UTV or snowmobile, including billet radius rods, billet tie rods, billet steering knuckles, billet steering racks, alternator kits, and much more. All manufactured in the United States in-house at their headquarters in Nibley, Utah. Travis Zollinger and his team test in some of the most brutal conditions, racing in places like the Best in the Desert Mint 400, Ultra 4 King of the Hammers, UTV World Championships, and many more. Visit ZollingerRacingProducts.com and use the code DIRTLIFE to get 10% off your next purchase, and join us on social media at Zollinger Racing Products to see our products in action. Zollinger Racing, the best products, period.
Finally, we got Lance from Soderweld in the studio. Thanks for coming down, bud. Hey, why don't we just record a commercial now?
Yeah, why not? So good to be here, man. It's been a lot. I'm trying to get down here forever, and I wanted to talk about the off-road kit.
Dude, I love those things. I got it in my pack.
Yeah, we're running hundreds of vehicles now running them, whether it's a UTV or some guy's got it in a backpack and was motocross. He's got everything he needs to make a fix right there on the fly, out on the trail, or in the desert, whatever it is.
Well, since I've already used one, I kind of know what to use it for, but explain what it does.
All right, so let's pull one out real quick. You've got your aluminum rods. Remember, they're rods, right? So, light torch, small torch. You can throw it in there or throw it on the rig with your flux. It decontaminates and cleans. Like, let's say a radiator, you get a random rock chip runs through as you're racing. You get a rock chip in a radiator, you got to fix it right there or you're out of the race.
You can patch it up.
It's all good to go.
Yep, just like welding.
Yeah, also as well with that, you've got a brake line fix. So with your flux, you can fix a brake line, stainless steel, and then your hot block, heat absorption putty. So it keeps you from getting burned, number one, as well as keeps the heat from traveling. So it's really, really nice.
I've used this not even to fix anything. So that stuff works so good, man.
Listen, it's easy. It straps in nicely so that you have everything you need in one little place, and you don't have to carry a big bag in
it's
the
It's like a first
truck.
Aid kit for your vehicle.
Yeah, Chase trucks have it as well, so that if they need to make a fix on the fly, they can get it done and get it done quick and get you back in the race.
Dude, those things are so cool. All right, so it's at Soderweld on Instagram, Facebook, and soderweld.com.
Awesome.
All right, thanks, bud.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Welcome back to episode 111 of the Dirt Life Show with Red Bull athlete Mia Chapman. I'm so stoked that we're getting to know you a little bit better. So let's go back to what we were talking about before we had the guys come in and join us. Actually, we got another person that's going to – oh, yeah, we actually have to have Jimmy come on. There he is right there. So we're going to have Jimmy Owens from Extreme Machine and Fabrication come on. And then we're going to try to finish it up, man.
Okay.
These shows get busy.
I know. Time flies.
Isn't it crazy? We're already at like an hour and 10 minutes into it.
It doesn't even feel like that long.
It feels like we haven't even barely been talking at all, right? So let's see if we can get Jimmy on here. And we should talk about it a little bit too. Like, when did you start like getting introduced to Jimmy and like the getting your cars built by him and stuff like that?
When I jumped into the mod car class. I think we knew him a little bit before then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But then he started like working with you and doing all your stuff?
Yeah, like he was my driver coach when I jumped into mods. He built my second mod car. So he's been there for it all.
Jimmy Owens, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing awesome, man. I don't know if you can angle your phone down a little bit or if you can sit up a little bit.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
We know you're a short guy, but you got to stand up a little bit higher.
She looks good with that headset. Oh, maybe I should start driving.
Oh, there you go. We were actually talking a little bit about it earlier, and when you have a good spotter, they have to be kind of disconnected from the emotional attachment to the driver, right? And so Mia was saying, yep, Jimmy's a good person for that.
Yeah, got to be a little on the aggressive side, yes, for sure.
So how has it been working with Mia? When did you meet her and, the relationship that you guys have now, some of that stuff?
Most of our relationships I started late in her J2 career, just as watching them and talking to her dad and that. And then when they got in the mod business, that's when the relationship really blossomed at that point. We started building mods then, and they got one from us along with a couple other kids. So,
yeah, it was like the first generation of mods kind of thing, or?
Yeah, I think she was the second one off the blocks, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, how stoked were you? Yeah. You were like, yes, I'm getting in.
It was awesome, especially going from kind of a used car into like a brand new mod card. It was awesome.
Really?
Yeah,
because then you get like the new freshie, it's not all clapped out, like you're like getting the good one. Man, that must have felt super cool. And so when you're going and you're talking to Jimmy about it and you're thinking, okay, I'm gonna get into this, and then he's like, all right, well, whatever you guys need, I'll lend you a hand.
Yeah, I mean, he really helped with it all. I mean, like I said, he built my mod car. He was my driving coach for most of it because me and my dad didn't know much about it. We've never been in the class.
Right.
He had a few years of it. So definitely a valuable person that we added to our program, and he's still involved with me to this day. So it's super cool.
Is it one of those things where you're just like a sponge the whole time? Just anytime he says something, you're just like, all right, we're going to do it that way. And you keep learning and learning and learning.
Oh, yeah.
Stacking checks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
checks of knowledge. So when you first kind of get into this little, we're going to talk about like a new ordeal with mod carts and stuff, Jimmy. How was it having her as one of your first drivers?
Actually, it was good. One, she being a girl, because I'm a big girl fan anyway in the racing program. And it was a good deal. Like I said, and it was new for us at the time. Like, we just started that whole program, So it was a learning curve for all of us for a little bit there. We were on the fast course, But, I'd done a lot of stuff in my past, Pro 2s, Pro Lights, all that stuff. But it was a little bit of a transition.
So, yeah, I was going to say.
And the driving's a little different.
Well, but it's also cool because you're, how do I put this? You don't have to deal with a professional, so to speak. So when you're dealing with a professional, and it's usually an adult, you have to deal with the way that they react, the way that they deal with their program. And a kid is a much better platform to start from the ground and work their way up, right? So they're willing to take knowledge and do it a lot differently.
Yeah, there are sponges, right? You can feed them whatever you want, and they'll pretty much listen. That's the good part. Sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time it does,
Have you ever yelled at Jimmy back? Like, if he's saying, go, go, go.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I couldn't imagine you yelling back at him.
We have come in crying a couple times, though.
Oh, yeah.
But she gets – she gets emotional.
It's probably because you want to win so bad, though, right?
It really is, and you get – so frustrated to the point where you just kind of lose it for a little bit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it's emotional because you have adrenaline flowing, you have all of the focus, and then all of a sudden everything's done and it's like, oh, like what happens now? And everything just comes out, right?
Yeah, and the passion and drive for it, you just want to do and the best you can, and it didn't always go that way.
Yeah, exactly. So Jimmy, I actually have a story. I remember the first time that I was ever on track with Mia. I think I was fighting for maybe top three in the Production 1000 championship at the time. And we're at Wild Horse Pass. And it was, I think it was just the time when you guys just decided, hey, we're just going to race the mod cars and we're also going to race the UTV this weekend. Or maybe the mod car wasn't that weekend and you guys decided to race UTVs. But for whatever reason, she was out there in the UTV class. And I go, all right, well, I hope she does good this weekend. And then we go out for qualifying, and she passes me and blows by me like I'm standing still. I'm like, holy shit. You know, like, what the heck is this girl doing? And then we go out to the main event, and she's running up top five. Like, she's, like, on my bumper the whole time. And I'm like, dude, this is so rad that she is doing so well. And she didn't even have the same amount of track time in a UTV that all of us in the lead pack did. And she was right there.
Yeah, what a lot of people don't realize is, like, people like Mia, they started when they were six, you know. By the time they're 16, they got 10 years under their belt.
Exactly.
And that's a big career. You know, that's where a lot of the older guys don't get it. It's like, these kids have been racing for a long time. They're not new to this. Yeah, they might be new to that car, but they're not new to racing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
they got to adapt to the vehicle. Yeah, as far as the racing part, they got that figured out.
100%. And I was so surprised, but I was so stoked at the same time because, like, well, for me, two things. Like, I probably only have a third of the amount of years that Mia does in an off-road car. But at the time, I was like, man, this is so cool to see that she is this focused and this good of a driver.
Right. And that comes from her dad, like the amount of time they spend and the effort practicing and testing and racing. I mean, it's definitely a life career or life sport, right? Like, that's all you do is eat, sleep, and breathe racing.
Yeah.
To get to that level.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because that brings us to one of the subjects that I wanted to talk about tonight is, first of all, how does it feel to be at this point in your off-road career?
It feels amazing. I mean, thinking back to when I was 12, 13 years old, I would never guess I'm at the point where I am today.
Right.
And the point in my career, and, you know, so much has happened and I've learned so many things. But it really is awesome to see something you work so hard for and all your dreams kind of start coming true when you get to that point, and it's just awesome.
Was there any times, because I want to talk about the some of the really big milestones that you've had, like winning races and obviously becoming a Red Bull athlete, but is there any times, before we talk about the good stuff, that you remember that you don't want to ever have happen again, like a crash that you had happen or a mistake that you made on track that affected somebody else or a mistake that you could have affected or rectified in the pits if you had done something better before? Like, what are some of the big things that have happened that you know not to ever do again?
I think the biggest thing was just making mistakes and, you know, looking back at it afterwards and realizing you could have done something different, but I mean, it's too late after the fact.
Oh, like easily avoidable kind of thing?
Yeah, and like little mistakes that just shouldn't have happened, but I mean, that comes with the sport. That's part of racing, and it was kind of hard to accept, especially the older you get, you know?
Because you put yourself under so much pressure?
Yeah, I think kind of every driver does in a sense, and, you know, making mistakes is part of it. It's just hard learning to, like, accept them.
Well,
as they come.
I know, because I know Jimmy somewhat well, not as well as you guys do, but I know that he's a good mentor to have, because when you feel like that, he can tell you, well, you know what, as long as you learn from it and move on, then you're doing a good job.
Right, and, you know, and I taught Mia this a long time. She'd come in and be upset. You got to remember, that race is merely 15 minutes of your day. That's a 24-hour day you're on. Right?
Yeah.
So you're going to let 15 minutes ruin your whole day.
Yep.
Just wipe it off. Let's go to the next step, right? That's the mentality you try to teach the kids, that it's only a race. It's only 15, 20 minutes. A desert race is obviously longer, but in short course, it's a short period of time. Don't let that whole day or that whole 15 minutes ruin your whole 24-hour day.
Yeah, exactly.
Be upset for a couple minutes, brush it off. Let's go kiss babies and smile at fans.
Yeah.
Move on from there.
Dude, 100%. Because
we're going to race tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And we always talk about this, actually, in the Dirt Life Show, is every good racer has the attention span of a gnat because they don't remember how much they jacked up the last corner. They just fix it for the next lap, right? And so that's kind of what Jimmy's talking about, is you just forget about it and move on.
Yeah, pretty much. And it took me a long time to learn that. And I still remember the day he told me that, and it's stuck with me ever since, because I don't think I ever really thought about it that way until he said it and brought it to my attention. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's right.
But you wouldn't be a good racer unless you were hard on yourself. So both things, they go like, I don't know, yin and yang kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's good that you have that. And that's why we can see that you guys are good together when you're talking on the walkie-talkie. Maybe not the whole, like, yelling thing or anything like that, but like getting all, but that's awesome that you guys have that relationship. And it's good to see that Jimmy is willing to put in the effort to help you enhance or further your career too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without him, my dad, you know, most people that have helped me get to this point.
So when you talk about that, and I would like to get Jimmy's response to the same basic question is, when you get the opportunity to represent Red Bull and to have that relationship, that's a really meaningful thing for anybody on the planet, let alone a youngster, right? So when you understand that you've been working your butt off these so many years and you have that opportunity, what does that make you feel like? Does that you know, give you chills? Does it make you feel motivated? Like where does it rate on your scale?
You know, it's really hard to describe because, like I said, you put in so much work for so many years and so many people, you know, put in the work with you.
Right.
And so it's really indescribable, but it really motivates you to know that people, you know, are noticing and seeing the things you're doing.
Right, because they're actually noticing the behind the scenes, not just the podiums.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what does it feel like for you, Jimmy, more as a on a mentor level when you see somebody accomplish something like that?
Actually, it is pretty cool. I mean, I was there when she got the Red Bull, the hat. I knew a month in advance and I couldn't say a word.
Oh, you know, man.
We got to get to the story.
We had to shut our mouth. It was tough. But even the whole day, it was tough. You know what I mean? Just trying to stay calm, not let anything out of the bag, just like a normal day, right? But we all knew what was going down and when it was happening. You know, it was pretty fun.
What was the story?
Yeah, so I guess we'll kind of get into my Red Bull story. So the way I kind of got into it was me and another girl that was racing at the time, Madison Dye, that she doesn't race anymore, but we went to train out with Ricky Johnson.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, that's when I was starting to race mod carts and learning how to control it. So we went out with him for the day. And he kind of briefly mentioned Red Bull was looking for a female girl in like the off-road side to kind of bring in. And so he ended up getting me a meeting with one of the people.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I had one meeting and I thought it went pretty good, you know. And then a week went by, a few weeks went by.
And you were what, 16 or 17 at the time?
15.
Okay.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah. So a few weeks went by, never heard anything. You know, a month went by, still didn't hear anything. So at that point, I was like, you know, well, you know, maybe it just didn't happen. It didn't happen for a reason, whatever, you know, kind of move on from it. And then that's when Crandon was coming up. And so we go to Crandon, you know, start doing our thing.
And Jimmy was with you in Crandon?
Yeah. Yeah. Him, my dad, my mom, my whole family knew. I just didn't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long did you guys know before this, Jimmy?
I knew probably a month.
Oh, crap. So this whole time, this whole time, this poor little girl is like freaking out about it. You guys all knew.
Right.
Jerks.
Dad got the word. Yeah. Dad got the word. And then a few days later, I think he called and tipped me off. But hey, this is what's happened. You got to be quiet. And then we prepped for it accordingly. You know what I mean? How it was going to go and make sure we had everything we needed. But yeah. And I knew, like I said, I couldn't say a peep. Like,
God, that secret would suck to hold too. Cause you got to see like Mia, like, oh really, man.
I was pretty bummed.
So you get like, you're getting ready to go to Crandon. You're like, all right, we'll just go race.
Yeah. Like typical normal Crandon race year. And I think we had practice that day or something. And like the last one went bad or something. I was in a bad mood. And my dad comes up to me afterwards, and he's like, let's go check out Bryce Menzies' car. I was like, I don't want to go over there. Like, I was in a bad mood, whatever.
Yeah, like, leave me alone.
Yeah. So, like, he takes me over there. We go over there, and we're kind of checking out all his Pro 2, Pro 4, the Razor and everything. And Bryce comes out. You know, he's talking to us a little bit. And then he's like, you want to go for a rip around the track in the Razor? I was like, yeah, because, I mean, Bryce Menzies is my idol.
Yeah. Like, duh.
Yeah. So, yeah, we get in the Razor, we get on the track, and then we stop at, like, the finish line area. And I just see all these cameras, and, you know, my dad's there. I think Jimmy was there. There's a lot of people there. I was like, okay, what the heck is going on? And so we get out, and someone hands Bryce a helmet bag with a helmet in it. And so he's holding it, and he goes to hand it to me, like, welcome to the Red Bull team. And I didn't know that it was mine. And I was like, why is he having me hold his helmet? Like, that's cool. And he was like, no, like, welcome to the Red Bull team. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
Then you got – that gives me chills just thinking about it.
It was so crazy. It was such an amazing day.
I thought you were going to say, like, I dropped the helmet and felt like a dumb. Oh, man, that is Legion Motorsports. That is freaking awesome. And so it's probably was just as cool for you guys, Jimmy, too. Well, because obviously you can like let the secret go now, but
right, exactly.
But to see the smile on her face.
Any young athlete to get that kind of a chance is worth it. You know, that's just an awesome, awesome program, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
It's hard in this sport. This sport is hard. It's hard to get there. There's so many talented kids to be picked out of that large group. I mean, there's 50 kids in any day of the week that could have that deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was neat that she got it, right?
We can't read this whole question, but yeah, I can't read it, man. So it's too long of a comment. But so when you get that, like, are you just thinking, like, you guys had me freaking hanging on this for, like, a month now? And then is that when you take the rubber band that Jim hit you with and you, like, smoke all the guys on the team? You, like, slap your – smack your dad around, smack Jimmy around, being like, you guys are, like, total jerks.
Everyone's like, yeah, we knew for, like, a month.
Oh,
month or two.
Insult to injury.
Okay, cool.
Oh, man. Well, it's got to be a good feeling, though. And I love that story so much because – it means a lot to me because, first of all, I know and Jimmy knows and most of the people on the listening to the podcast understand how much work it takes to operate an off-road racing program from beginner level to professional level. It all takes a lot of work, right? And then you've been doing it still to this day with your family and the help of others. And that is not something easy to do for that long of a time, 12 years now. I mean, that is just phenomenal. So when you get awarded for that, I feel like I'm proud of you because that was a lot of work.
Yeah, thank you. It was. It was an amazing day. I mean, I'll never forget that day. And the way they, you know, introduced me to the Red Bull family was super cool. Like, they put a lot of thought into that. Everybody knew, you know, I idolized Bryce Menzies, and they made that happen. So,
dude, that's so cool.
It was really cool.
What's your favorite Red Bull right now?
The peach one.
The peach one?
Yep.
Big peach girl over here, Jimmy. Yeah. Big peach girl.
Yeah, I like the peach too, though.
So do you have any funny stories about any of the past years with Mia, whether it's in a UTV or a kart?
They're all funny. she's just fun. I mean, it's nice to give her, you know, harass her all the time. And we always make fun of her because she don't like to drive. She always sleeps. You know what I mean? Like Jim said, she sleeps till noon. You know what I mean? So that stuff's fun.
Hey,
she's always the first one to bed, the last one up. Yep, that's Mia.
And she needs her, what do they say for, oh, you need your beauty sleep. That's what it is, right?
Beauty sleep.
I don't know. We just had somebody comment in on what their favorite flavor was, but I didn't see it. That's crap, man. I'm not doing a good job. Sorry, Red Bull. I didn't see their favorite flavor, but we know Mia and Jimmy is peach. So and I'm a big fan of just the regular stock sugar-free one. I like that one.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Especially when you have to drive all the way to, well, we'll say Brimstone since Greg was just on, because you can stay up, right?
Yeah.
So has there been any milestones, because we're going to talk to Mia about this a little bit, Jimmy, that that rate highly on your list of accomplishments for her during her mod carts or Razor career?
I would say that besides the Red Bull hat when we got it that day, that was a great milestone. And I think the biggest thing that sticks in my mind is the Crandon race that we just ran this year with the ProLite. That was pretty intense. Like that. And I'm a big ProLite fan anyway. I've ran a lot of kids in that program. And to go there with Mia and finish 8th the first day and 4th the second day was amazing. Like, that to me was the highlight of the thing with her, you know, to go to that place. And we only tested for 2 days. It wasn't like we were there for a month. We went there for 2 days, knocked it out, rolled the dice, and that's what we came up with.
Dude, that's so good. And, dude, the stacked field over there, too. Well, Jimmy, you're probably going to like this answer or whatever Mia comes up with for this. But Chris Lemming said, what is your advice to any of the young girls that are coming up in the ranks?
You know, it's going to sound cliche, but just don't give up. Like, you're going to have a lot of good and bad days in racing. And, you know, it's easy to let it get the best of you, but just keep pushing. And, you know, with the boys, you just got to earn the respect by showing it on the track. Like, that's the biggest thing is just, you know, not letting it affect you and doing your own thing and doing really the best you can.
Yeah, and just remember, too, like as Mia says that, there's no difference in whether you can go fast or not if you're a boy or a girl. You can do the same exact thing no matter what it is. And I know that because I'm a person that wasn't able to operate my whole body the same way. I'm not an able-bodied person, and I could still go as fast and win races. So Mia can do it just against the older boys, younger boys, whatever it is, just like I could when I was racing professionally too. So no matter what, if you have a young child, whether it's a boy or a girl, you can always do very, very well if you put your mind to it and put effort into it, like what Mia does and what Jimmy does to help all the kids as well.
And, you know, once you're a driver, once you bolt your helmet on and put your suit on and strap in, you're just a race car driver.
100%.
It's really not a boy or girl at that point. You're just a race car driver. You got a job to accomplish. You got your marks to hit. It's the same process. There's no difference, right? So it's just, you got to stay focused, right? That's, you got to set a goal and go after it. That's what it amounts to.
100%. Desert Squadron just said, being a girl, do you think it was harder to earn the respect?
I mean, yeah, I guess in a sense, like Jimmy said.
It was pretty easy for me to understand and respect you when you were on my ass that hard in the UTV. I was like, okay, she's got not playing around here.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my dad, you know, never made me feel any different for being a girl in the racing sport, like never made it a big deal. So I was like, okay, I'm just, you know, a girl doing what the guys do.
Yeah.
But it was a little, it gets a little hard because, you know, you jump in there being a girl. A lot of people think you might just be a pushover and you're not going to be that good. But once you get on the racetrack and really show what you can do, like your skills, that's kind of how you earn the respect.
Yeah, you got to prove it and make it. Yeah.
But well, that kind of goes with being a guy or a girl. Like, it's not just a girl thing either.
Oh, 100%, dude. When I first jumped into it, I got pushed around so much and I was like, nope, this is not happening.
Yep.
Like, so, yeah, that's cool, man. So that's the advice that you can give. How about you, Jimmy? What would kind of advice would you share being around so many different young women, obviously your daughters, and then obviously young men as well? What advice would you give to that same question?
Testing, right? Practicing. Seat time. There's no other way around it. And I don't really care if it's on a racetrack, especially with the young youth. The younger they are, the more you can get them behind the wheel, the better it is. I don't care if it's driving around in the backyard, you know. They got to get comfortable with the gas pedal, the steering wheel, and the brakes. And then as they progress, you can progress with them, right? Teach them more lines, how to be aggressive, you know. As far as the girl thing goes, I think, you know, there's times a girl's got to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, the boys might try to take an advantage because they think it is a girl. But usually once you give them a wheel back, they usually knock it off pretty quick, you know.
Yeah, because they don't want to take themselves out. The guys that do
100%.
That. 100%. The guys that do that have more pride in themselves than anything else, so they don't want to look like bad either. So once you show them something, right, give them a wheel, they're like, okay, I better calm down here.
Yeah.
That is cool that you guys understand all that. When you guys are in a race and you're in an intense battle, what are some of the things that you do, knowing Mia so well, to either calm her down or show her what she needs to get done on the track?
And I think the big thing for being a spotter is being the second set of eyes for them, right? Because they have their view, which is a tunnel vision, right? Just you've driven.
Yep.
You're looking one thing out the front. Well, I'm looking over everything. I see the guys in front of you. I see the guys behind you. I see the hole that guy just hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can give advice that way. Crandon was a fine example. We got the green. We smoked down into turn one, and she's in there. One car came in, and one came down. We were smashing the sandwich. I yelled at her, get out. So she jammed on the brakes and let him go. Otherwise, we'd have probably wadded it up. And then we went back at it again. But it's being able to see that to help them, you know. And she's really good at listening. Like, we have a good – she knows if I send her somewhere, for the most part, it's – it may not always work, but it's a good move, right?
Yeah, and that trust, right?
That's, yeah, it is trust. You got to trust, you know. But that's the ticket right there, is being able to listen to your spotter and understand that that's just another tool to use.
Yeah, I love that advice, and because, like, you always have to have that trust in whoever's working with you. And doesn't mean a spotter or a mechanic on your team, a tech, whatever it is, because you got to be able to make sure that you're executing properly. But I do like that he's looking out for your best interest overall, and that you're able to accept those things instead of just having that tunnel vision. Because, like, if you didn't, then you would have gone in and probably biffed it in that first turn.
Oh yeah, I mean, the stuff he can see, I can't see, and he saved me a lot of times. And really, just, we established that trust pretty early on, so that definitely helped, because I know whatever he's going to tell me, I don't have to second guess it, and it's safe to do.
And it was way better than your dad.
They're pretty, you know, my dad's really quiet on the radio. He's pretty calm. He's pretty calm.
Do you like it when people talk more, like all the time, or do you like it when you're nobody, when they don't bug you?
Just when I need it.
Oh, okay.
Like, if they see stuff I can't see, of course, like, I want to know.
Yeah, like, you got to take the inside line and turn four or something.
But definitely like someone screaming at me the whole time, not going to work.
Yeah. So I was the exact opposite. Like no screaming on my radio. I'll just turn it off. But like you have to talk the whole time. Like no matter who it is that's spotting for me, if you are quiet, then I'll just do it myself. Like you don't even need to be there. Like you talk the whole time.
And that's kind of how the pro light race was because it was just craziness the whole time. There was so many drivers in that class already. So we kind of always had our hands full for the most part.
That's kind of cool though, man. Yeah. Was that different than any other race that you and Jimmy have done? Cause it was so intense.
Yeah, it was so intense. I mean, I'm racing against full grown men at this point that have been doing it, you know, forever.
On the world's awesomest track.
Yeah. It's like mod cards on steroids.
There we go.
That's the best way to explain it.
How was the roost?
Oh my gosh, the roost was insane. I've never experienced roost like that before.
Like what was it like?
You can't see a thing. Like off the start, you just see
like people just shoveling dirt in your eyes.
That's literally what it's like. Yeah.
Really? Dude,
I told her, you'll never see anything like this in your life. The amount of roost that's going to come through there, you won't be able to breathe. It's so much of it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's shovelfuls of it.
Can you imagine a Pro 4? Holy smokes, man. It'd be like tractor full of it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy. But that sound is like it was a really good experience in your book.
Yeah, it was definitely, the coolest experience of the year, getting to do something I've always wanted to do. And I had such a great team behind me that gave me an awesome truck, with having Jimmy to my dad, you know. It was just a good program.
That's why you want to do it again this year, it sounds like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think we could do something there for sure.
That would be super cool, man. It would be so awesome to see you on the podium and like in a pro light. That would be so much. I would be so proud of you. That'd be so cool.
And I hope so.
Chris says that Robert is Alexia's spotter. She won't let him on the radio at all. Oh, that's hilarious, man. Hey, I won't let people that are close to me on the radio either, Chris, so it's not a big deal. So, Jimmy, when we're talking a lot about short course stuff, and that's where a lot of your expertise has started in, but as Mia expands her driving capabilities and she does desert stuff, like in this Polaris Razor right behind here, how have you seen her develop in those skills as well?
She does good. She's patient, right? Because desert racing is not like short course racing. It's not a sprint, right? You can't tear up the equipment. You're there for 4 or 5 hours. Just be patient, sit down and get it done, right? So she's adapted to that quite well.
Does that give you as much, satisfaction driving like that?
The desert stuff?
Yeah, because it's not as intense, right? Like you don't get the same adrenaline. Well, I guess some people do.
It's different. I mean, yeah, like he said, you have to be more patient. You're in the car for hours on end.
Yeah, and you can't go pee.
You can't go pee. It's a different set of challenges that comes with it. I mean, it feels better when you get to the finish line and know that all that hard work paid off and you actually made it to the finish, because that's a big thing in desert racing, is keeping it together to make it to the finish line. A lot of people don't.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, just making it there is a big accomplishment on itself.
Brian Forrester said it was good seeing you at the Red Bull Sand Scramble. You're a badass. let's see here. Trish Haugen, she said, hi, Mia, and Merry Christmas.
Hi, Trish.
And she said that you rock that pro light. So it sounds, I think they were at Crandon when they probably saw you race it, huh?
Yeah.
That's super cool. Well, Jimmy, what kind of stuff can you foresee on the horizon for Mia Chapman and her off-road racing career? Because I see a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I see a lot of good stuff. There's a few things we can't talk about right now, but yeah, there's some good stuff going. I think they're working on a desert program for a little bit next year, and there's some other stuff in the works. So we'll see how that all pans out.
Cool. Well, I'm really excited to see where it goes too. So, all right, if you had to give me one word to describe Mia, what would it be?
Sleepy.
Oh, I knew he was going to say that.
I was waiting for the word awesome or something, I like his answer. That's super funny.
She is awesome. That is awesome. Every time I call her dad, because we travel a lot on the road, so it's usually me and her dad talking on the phone. Hey, what's Mia doing? Sleeping. What's Mia doing? Sleeping.
That's hilarious, because I hear that a lot with race car drivers. I'm sure they need their rest, right? But how do you, if you're prone to fall asleep in a car, how do you not fall asleep driving a race car? Like, it's so crazy to me. Like, it's apples and oranges.
Well, it's so different. I mean, you're actually driving the race car. When someone else is driving, it's like, oh, okay.
What was it like when you got your driver's license? Were you just like, oh, this is like so easy?
Mm-hmm. And the driving instructor I got when I was taking my permit test actually knew I was a race car driver. So she was like, oh, great.
Really?
Like, here we go.
She said that?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So I got my license in California when I moved out there a long time ago. And I did all, like, I just did it normally. And the guy goes, have you raced something before? And I go, how can you tell? He goes, because the way that you drive, like, it's not, like, I wasn't speeding or anything. But he's like, you're not looking in the mirror and you're not second-guessing the things that you're doing. You know what you're doing. And he goes, but I still have to ding you because you didn't look in the mirrors properly. And I go, you jerk. well, thank you very much for joining us, Jimmy. We really appreciate it, man. Do you want to give him, like, as a final closeout, do you want to tell us a funny story about Jimmy?
There's too many, honestly.
What about if you had to describe him in one word?
Crazy.
Whoa!
Crazy, yeah. he's awesome, though. He's been a part of my life for so long now, and I'm sure he'll continue to be a part of it going into the future.
I love that dynamic, man. You guys get along really well, and I love the dynamic, man. It just puts a smile on my face. I can't wait to see you guys at the races next time. So, all right, Jimmy, well, thank you very much for joining us. And please tell Jess, Jen, and everybody that we said hello.
That we will. Thank you. Bye.
We'll see you later. Jimmy, you're a real work of art. oh, wait. Actually, that was a bad comment. Yeah, Broiler, you shouldn't be commenting in crap stuff like that, dude. That's not nice, dude. All right. So let's see here. Where do we have to go here? Oh, well, so we were going to ask what's in the future for Mia, but it sounds like some of the stuff you can't talk about yet.
Yeah, we got a few things in the work for next year. I mean, like I said, we're going to be running the NA class and the Best in the Desert season for sure. Trying to put a Perlite program together seems like it's coming together, but we'll see. And, you know, a few other awesome stuff in the works that hopefully I'll be able to share soon. But all I can say is stay tuned.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for telling us all that stuff. So we can follow you on social media at miaaa.chapman, right?
Yep.
So it's got three A's in it.
Three A's, yeah.
Okay, good. So, and we tagged Mia in a bunch of our stories and obviously the last post and stuff. So go follow her and check it out to see what she has going on in the future. Man, I'm like excited. Like, I kind of want to go. Like, I wish it wasn't so late. We could just like go out side by side riding right now and you could take me for a ride so I could see your skills. all right, so I pretty much answered all of the things that I wanted to talk about, unless you have anything else that you want to talk about before we do the rapid fire Q&A.
I think we kind of touched on everything I wanted to.
Yeah. It was kind of cool because all of those other people asked the similar questions to what I was actually going to ask too. Yeah. So, all right, let's see here. What time is it? Yeah, it's about time. So let's do the rapid fire Q&A. You ready for this?
Oh man. All right.
Please tell me. You promise you didn't cheat by looking at this.
I promise.
Okay. Mia, you're awesome. Yeah, so.
Thank you.
Hard-shelled or soft tacos?
Soft tacos.
You're going soft tacos?
Yeah.
Like, what's your jam?
My mom makes a mean carne asada taco.
Really? What do you put on it? Just cilantro?
Yeah, cilantro, salsa.
Oh, you're going big. Oh, dude, yeah. Now I'm hungry. chicken or carne asada?
Ooh, carne asada.
Dunes or the river?
The dunes.
You're going to, well, especially since you just went to the Red Bull Sand Scramble, like you're trying to get on that next year, right?
Oh yeah, we're going next weekend.
Really?
Yeah, for New Year's.
No way. Well, it's going to be so cold out there. Three-wheeler or quad?
Man, probably three-wheeler. That's all we have at our house.
Really?
My dad's obsessed with them.
Oh my gosh, man. Berta, is that your mom?
Yep, that's my mom.
She says carne asada too. Berta, we heard that you guys made some really delicious tamales. So I'm going to tell you right now, Berta, I'm a little upset that Mia didn't give me a Christmas present with some tamales. At least one tamale to taste. I mean, gosh. Pizza rolls or jalapeno poppers?
Pizza rolls.
Even though they burn the shit out of the top of your mouth?
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
big coffee girl?
Oh, yeah.
Are you a Starbucks addict too? So do you know who Maddie Wedeking is?
Yep.
Oh my gosh, she's like the worst at Starbucks, dude.
We follow each other on everything, and every day I always see her Starbucks stories.
Oh my gosh, so dude. Funny. She is like, and so like I bought her a bunch of Starbucks. I've never went to Starbucks in my life, and now I get iced teas there. I bring her coffee, like, because she lives right down the street and works down the street from me. So it's like, oh my gosh. So the Starbucks addiction is kind of like coming off on me now too. So even though I've never ever tasted, fun fact, I've never tasted coffee in my life.
Really?
Ever. Not even once. Not even licked it.
Wow.
I know, right? Favorite movie?
Talladega Nights.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of that movie?
The one where he's doing his interview and he's like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Do you feel like that sometimes?
Yeah.
How does your brother do in interviews?
He's very serious and to the point.
Really?
Yeah.
Not like robot, but he's just like, boom.
Yeah.
Just gives you the info and that's it.
Uh-huh.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Ooh.
Like anything. You can fly, you can teleport, you can be like super speedy. You could read minds. I would hate that. I would hate to read minds because I don't want to like know what people are thinking.
See, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'd be so creeped out if you were in my head. Like, knowing what I'm thinking, I'd be like, oh my God, Mia knows exactly what's going on. Like, how do you get her out of there?
That'd be so cool, though. You'd always know what everybody's thinking.
Yeah, but do you want to know what everybody's thinking? Like, what if you go to the grocery store and somebody's, like, sitting there and you're just like, oh, no, I don't want to know what that dude's thinking. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Like, what's your jam?
I got a lot. I really like Grey's Anatomy.
Have you seen that Netflix documentary or what it's called? The F1 thing? The F1 show on Netflix about Formula One?
I just saw that today, actually.
Oh, dude, you got to watch it.
I want to.
Like, big fan right here. Big fan. Your most memorable race. And if you're going to say Crandon, it's got to be other than Crandon.
Okay, other than Crandon, it was probably back when I was racing the junior carts, and it was the last race of the year. I was fighting for a championship. It was pretty close.
Against who? Do you remember who the other driver was?
I can't at the time. I think it was Orion Rodriguez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know Orion. Mm-hmm. I rebuilt his YXZ transmission like a year ago.
Oh, small world. Yep. Yeah, but me and him were in the points championship chase. And I was racing that and then a Razor 1000 at the time.
Dang, look at you.
Yeah, and I rolled the Razor in qualifying and I ended up breaking my right collarbone.
No way.
Yeah, so I had to go into the main event and race that way.
With the broken, did you take pain meds?
Yeah, I did, didn't help that much. So it
your broken collarbones
painful.
Are not that rad. No. Especially in the steering wheel when you have the seatbelts and all stuff on. Oh my gosh. How many bones have you broken?
Oh, well, I've broken that. I've broken some ribs.
Dude, you're like
concussions.
You're a wreck over here.
Yeah, it happens. Anyways, long story short, I raced like that. Ended up getting the championship by like a few points. It was super close, but it was rad to know that I could do that.
That's cool that you could push through all that stuff. Man, that makes me feel good that you're that strong of a person. You just continue to impress me, man. What's your favorite snack?
Ooh, Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Do you dip them in? Have you ever done them in cream cheese?
Yes.
Cheez-Its and done them. Ooh, they're so good. Yeah, they're the bomb. So you eat that on the road? Like, what's your favorite road snack?
Yeah, I like Cheez-Its. I like Gushers.
Whoa, Gushers?
Like Hot Cheetos. I mean, yeah.
I showed your dad a Hot Cheetos taco that just popped up on my Instagram. do you watch dirt bike racing at all or no?
A little bit, not as much. All
right,
I'll
change this question then. It was going to be supercross or motocross, but off-road or short course?
Short course.
You're going short course all day? And then what's your favorite track, Crandon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Okay, so let's see here. Oh, this is an awesome one for you. What other form of racing would you like to try?
Ooh, I don't know.
Like, it'd be anything. I tell everybody all the time when I ask this question, like, it could be monster trucks, it could be speedboat racing, like, it could be, like, Red Bull airplanes, like, whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter. You could try anything. Like, they're like, hey, we'll take you out for the day. Like, what are you picking?
You know, I've seen, it pops up on my Instagram feed all the time, but the Red Bull airplane drivers.
Yeah.
And how they do those crazy tricks.
No, they're way gnarly.
I would just like to ride in one.
Yeah, same. But I feel like we would all throw up.
Yeah.
Because that's so many G's. Cool. let's see here. Jason Garrettson said, Jimmy built him an awesome car. Let's see here. Oh, this one's a good one for you. Maybe this is the clip that we're going to take out of it. Who is your celebrity crush? Well, I guess it'd be anybody, too. Well, if you're a big country girl, or you're a big rap girl, too, please don't say it's Drake or somebody like that.
No.
Yeah.
I got two, okay? It's Channing Tatum and Parker McCollum.
Who's Parker McCollum?
He's a country singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you guys go. If you're not Channing Tatum or Parker McCollum, good luck with all right. Final question of the night, and this is the most important question that we always ask everybody. Chips and guacamole or French fries and ketchup? Sometimes I switch it up, say French fries and ranch, but I feel like ketchup is fine this time.
I like ranch more, but I don't like guacamole at all.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Dude, we're not friends anymore then.
I really want to like
Even
it,
though your mom
can't.
Can like make all this awesomeness, like I you're know. Not doing guac?
No.
Okay, chips and salsa or French fries and ranch?
Chips and salsa.
Yeah, all day, right? Okay. Well, cool, man. I really appreciate you guys putting in all the effort and obviously Jim getting us lined up. Oh, yeah. See, Berta says French fries. I really want to know what's going on in the future for you. So I'm going to be paying attention to your social media and I'm going to be watching and seeing how everything's going to go for you guys. I really appreciate you taking the time away from everything that you got going on to be able to hang out on the Dirt Life Show. It means a lot to me.
No, thank you for coming down here. I've been keeping up with your show for so long and, you know, I've been waiting for the moment to get on here and, you know, sit down with you. So it was awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. So if you guys want to follow the show, you guys can always check it out at the Dirt Life Show on Instagram. And it's the Dirt Life Show on Facebook and YouTube. And obviously you can check it out on all the archives, iTunes, Spotify, all those. You guys have been doing such a good job, man. Our numbers have gone like skyrocketing because you guys have been so into watching the shows and stuff. So we really, really appreciate it. I don't know what any of this comment means from Jimmy or Jen.
Okay. Jimmy said Mia loves moths. I hate moths. Can't stand them. Terrified of them. Don't want nothing to do with them.
Plus they eat your clothes. They just tore the crap out of your pants right here.
Oh, here we go.
I'm the old guy that comes up with that line, right?
You know, he quit the quick thing. He threatens to put, wrap my race cars in moths on the inside.
Ooh, I wouldn't want that.
I know.
That gives me the creeps just thinking about that. Jimmy, you're not hired for my crew chief either, man, if you're going to be doing that. I actually had some of my pit crew at one race that was at Wild Horse Pass. We had a whole bunch of hospitality and everything, and one guy wanted to come out. So I was like, yeah, I'll buy you the RV spot. You just got to cook all weekend. So he cooked all this awesome food, and then he's like, I know what's going to make you win the race. So I get in the race car, and there's two pieces of bacon hanging in the windshield. He's like, you'll go faster because you can try to get the bacon. And I was that's
awesome.
That's so sweet. So thanks, Jeff, for doing that. So maybe we need to do that for you.
Yeah, maybe.
You in a desert race?
Yeah. Make some peach Red Bulls right there.
Yeah, you just get hungry or thirsty. You just take a drink or take a bite of it. But yeah, like I said, I really appreciate you taking the time and obviously your family for doing all this stuff. And we really hope that you have a really, really good future ahead of you. It sounds like you have some pretty fun stuff. Oh, and thank your sponsors right now, too.
Yeah, of course. None of this would be possible without all my awesome sponsors. Obviously, Red Bull, Yokohama Tire, Vision Wheel, Sparco, Kicker Audio, Rigid Industries. I'm sure I'm missing a few on here. There's so many awesome people, but thank you to everybody that makes all this possible.
Discount Tire, R&R, Extreme Machine.
Oh, obviously Extreme Machine Fabrication.
Let me see what else I got over here. I can't see it. Oh, Pro Armor.
Yeah, Pro Armor was a big sponsor that came on this year and helped us out a bunch. So appreciate all you guys.
That's awesome, man. It's always awesome to see that other people are involved in your program because that means that they care about you and the things that you're doing. I always tell everybody, I told your dad and he agreed with me, racing is a very, very difficult thing. No matter what, everybody needs sponsors, partners, money, finances, everything to be able to go out there and do it. And if you don't have the passion like Mia and her family does, you're never going to be successful because racing is just about putting in the work to be able to go achieve your goals, even if it's not results, right? So
absolutely.
I really appreciate the fact that you guys are out there just grinding away to be able to fulfill the stuff that you love doing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mia. I really appreciate you guys doing everything. So everybody in the audience, we owe you guys so much for being a just such a crucial part of the Dirt Life Show. So you guys can always go to thedirtlifeshow.com, click on sponsor deals, and there's tons of deals over there with all of our partners, KMC, Zollinger, EFX, Motul. Let's see here. Shock Therapy. Shock Therapy has a big discount code there. Evolution Power Sports, Zollinger Racing Product, Cryo Heat, and Solder Weld as well. So go check out the DirtLifeShow .com. And we hope everybody has a good – well, yeah, thank you to the guys at Rigid for having us, man. We really, really appreciate everybody that was here just helping us set up. Colson, Mike, Aaron for introducing himself. That was really cool. We hope everybody has a really great holiday season. We're not going to have another show until January 3rd. I'm just going to say it just flat out. I deserve a break.
You do.
I'm going to go take some time and have a good Christmas with my family. So we hope that you guys do as well. We really appreciate everybody. Like I said, January 3rd is our next show with Daniel Schenkelberg. He's a professional photographer. My buddy, excuse me, Mike is going to be co-hosting that with me. It's going to be really, really cool. So we'll see you guys in Southern California for that one. We really want to thank you guys so much for joining us. You were like a co-host tonight, too, because you had some questions for all of our people that we had on. So it was really good to see, man. You are well-spoken, Mia.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for living your dirt life with us. We really appreciate it. We love you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Dirt Life Show.